This is part one of a two-part episode.
Phil, did you see the article that Wizards released about the Commander 2016 product?
Negative.
All right, so it's the usual, like, pre-release sales gumph, you know, please buy all our decks. It even says we encourage players to collect all five decks.
Wow.
But the contents, here's the interesting bit. So 100-card Commander deck, four foil legendary Commander cards.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. One oversized foil Commander card, and then 10 double-sided tokens.
Well, look at that.
Are there other cards?
That's all they've listed.
No, that's it.
Are there 95 other cards, at least?
You do get 100 card.
No, it's just the four foils. And a placemat.
Nate, it will be 96 other cards. 100 minus 4 is 96.
Ah, but the oversized foil is a separate one.
That's right.
But you get four foil legendary commander
four
cards.
Foil and one different oversized foil is five cards.
Shut up, Nate.
That's maths.
Nate in his maths. I'm Phil DeLuca.
I am Nate Burgess.
And I am Sean Watson.
And we are Commander In.
Mandarin.
Music. We got the music going right now. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to put a spotlight on community issues, but never, ever talk about three banned topics: religion, politics, and Hearthstone. We take that to heart, don't we, guys?
Yes. Especially the first two.
Yes. If you like what you hear and want to support the show, go to www.patreon.com/commanderinmtg and donate to us. Patreon allows you to give back to the creators you appreciate, one of whom we might be talking to today. We are also working on a few ways to give back to our patrons through exclusive offers and gifts. If you donate a buck a show, it helps immensely, and if you donate $10 per show, you get access to all of the hosts in our exclusive Facebook chat group. Patroni there also get to contribute to show plans, like this one, and they get sneak peeks and exclusive content, which usually comes from Nate. Yeah.
Patroni.
It's the,
plural.
Not patrons?
No.
No.
Silly.
Come on. It's a weird kind of meat. Are you sure about that?
Hang on, we're spoiling
like a kind of
the
sausage. I know. I'm not supposed to say anything until you say my name, but that was just a ridiculous word you said there.
Hey, Phil, the special guest is spoiling it by revealing who he is before we introduce him.
It says on the episode title, so no one's
Shut
fooled.
Shut up, Andy.
No, it only says Simic Guild. We're keeping it a total surprise. This week, we have a wonderful show lined up for you. We're going to talk about the Simic Guild. We've decided each guild / shard / wedge, any of those factions, should have a special representative, didn't we? A champion, if you will, maybe even an expert, who can talk with confidence about and tout the merits of the color combination. This week, our guest is the Terror of Toronto, the Supreme Simic, Andy Hull.
Hello, it's me, the Supreme Simic, the common nickname I've been given and have had since birth.
Better than the Dirty Demir.
What's up, everyone? What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on the show. This is great. I can't believe I'm the Simic guy. That's weird. How did that happen?
I think I asked you what guild you like the best.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, I get that, but like, just renown. That's great. Now I'm Mr. Simic.
And you told me you love elves exploring and experimenting on your most tender areas.
So yeah, it's
Simic for
that.
You.
Yeah, exactly. I love being turned into a big ooze man. That's my favorite.
You said elves are good drawers.
They are good drawers.
Or did you mean they have good drawers? Oh, anyway. A couple of our listeners, Andy.
You don't need to edit that. You keep that. You keep that in. You keep that dead silence in. Don't you dare boop that out of there.
A couple of our listeners might be new to listening to things, so tell us a little bit about you, Andy.
Well, first of all, I thought you said a couple of our listeners might be nude, so please explain to them.
Actually, many of our listeners we have found listen to us in the nude.
In the nude, yeah. It's more it's more freeing, yeah.
I guarantee Bradford Heron is sitting buck naked listening to this.
That's Patron Bradford.
That's true.
Patroni Bradford. Okay, who am I? Is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
I host the Commander's Brew podcast with my co-host, Sean Tabaris. You guys probably know me that. I used to write for Brainstorm Brewery when they did articles, but I've been told that they now don't do that anymore. And I currently write for MTG Canada. So, represent north of the border. Yeah.
Busy man.
Busy man, yeah, I guess.
I prefer that you're representing the Commonwealth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm representing you too, Sean. I'm right there. Other than that, you might have seen me on Space Janitors, which is a web series that I did a while ago, but no, it's been a bit. So,
an excellent web series, may I add.
Yeah, and you know, just telling jokes all over the place if you're in Toronto.
Listeners of this show that don't listen to the Commander's Brew, what are you doing? Amazing podcast.
I'm pretty sure that, like, you guys can say that, but we can't say that because there's nobody that listens to our show that doesn't listen to yours and then doesn't listen to Jimmy and Josh as well. So that's like, I love that, like, we just get past our audiences down. I can't wait till we get to pass it on to our little brother podcast show. I can't wait till they come along.
But seriously, though, if you look at the Commander's Brew, it's a budget Commander's show. If you think, well, budget Commander's not my thing, which it isn't my thing, what I use it for is discovering cards that I've never heard of or never really thought about. And I've found so many awesome little gems, like 20-cent masterpieces from listening to your show. So thank you for that.
That's my favorite thing about Commander. So I'm glad we created a show that people get that from it. It's a lot of fun. I got one for you guys today too, but I'll save that till later.
Can't wait. You know, for a show that's so focused on low budget Commander, you guys have cost me a lot of money.
And myself as well. So I understand that for sure. It's like, oh, I can't get into competitive MTG. It's too damn expensive. I'm not paying $100 for a deck.
Yeah.
Five decks later, $500 later. At least I get 100 cards out of them. I don't have to just settle for 60.
Now, you guys also stream, don't you?
Yeah, we stream like at the end of every month. Like we do a thing called a Brew and Brawl on Twitch where we brew up a deck and then we play with people who are in like our chat room with us. And now we chat like live with them using that website Discord. That's pretty fun. Although like streaming Commander can be tough, but it's a lot more fun when you know, just like real Commander, when you have people that you're chatting with and joking around with and stuff. But also Sean and I will just stream drafts and stuff over at twitch.tv/commandersbrew. It's fun.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Yeah, it's a good time, man. I mean, we like Limited too, right? I'm sure we all do, you guys included. So it's nice to show that, you know, hey, we're into Limited. We can play other stuff. We can get competitive when we need to.
And you recently switched to recording your podcasts on video, haven't you?
Yeah, we started streaming and then we're like, hey, wait, this program OBS, which like every streamer uses, you can just record video with it. So we were just like, well, why don't we just use this as our YouTube channel? Because we were like wrestling with putting our podcasts up with just like a static image and all that, which is like a classic way to do it. But then we're like, well, why don't we just record it with this software? Turns out my computer is kind of a piece of garbage, but that will be upgraded very soon, actually. So that's kind of fun. So we'll get better looking videos.
Are you going to get all sorts of fancy video equipment?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that's coming down the pipe. Or is it pike?
Pipe.
The turnpike.
That's only in New Jersey.
It's only in New Jersey and Florida, I feel like.
Go Devils go.
It's safe to use both.
Well, then I will stick to picking one at random every time I say that.
Yeah, well, we are huge fans. I was gonna tease you a little bit there, but I listen to all of your shows, especially now that I'm commuting a longer distance. It really helps pass the time, and I laugh.
You keep that in.
Yeah,
you let people know what you're really like. I heard you say that.
Oh, they know.
Yeah, they exactly. Know. We all know.
I keep wanting to text you and Sean after each episode and be like, that was a brilliant episode. And I just don't, yeah. Because I'm like, oh, they must get tired of that.
I was going to message you during the Silumgar episode saying, I better get a mention here. And I did, so it's all right.
Yes, exactly. Of course you did. Yeah, you know what? I've fallen off of just listening to podcasts in general lately, and I don't really know why. I think it's because I haven't had a lot of a commute. Like, a lot of the stuff I've been doing now is like really close to here because I moved in fairly recently, so I don't know. But I've actually been recently catching back up on all that stuff, so I have been listening to you guys, and I've been listening to Command Zone again, and even Limited Resources I stopped listening to for a pretty long time. I think I got a little burnt out on Magic for a little bit, and I got married, so anyways, I got a million excuses if you want to hear other ones too. My cat takes craps on the floor all the time. My air conditioner's broken. What do you need? What do you want? I got them. But for real.
You're too busy watching the Jays.
Yep. That's happening right now.
Now, did you get married because you hated life that much?
Yeah, that's why. That's what happened. I'm a terrible person. No, I got married because I love my wife.
Yeah, since you were on the show, actually, you've gotten married. So that's congratulations. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was good to see you. It's really good. And I've never met Sarah, and I understand that you're both keeping me away from her and there's a restraining order against me already. But I look forward to meeting her.
I'm sure you will. I mean, she's currently in LA, so why don't you be a real creep and go over and say hi to her?
Don't tell her who you are. Just knock on the door.
Is that the house with the bushes outside? Yeah.
She knows who you are, though, because, like, you know, when we were there, we were hanging out and stuff. I was like, oh, this is Phil. This is this guy.
Turn up with a couple of decks, Phil.
Yeah.
We're playing Commander.
Hey, you want to play Magic?
Yeah, we're playing Commander.
Play Magic cards? Leave me alone, sir. Anyways, that's what my wife sounds like.
Yeah. That was remarkable. She did the Zada, didn't she? No, she did the little goblin on the Zada.
Oh, she
episode,
was John right? John.
John John, yeah.
John John, the goblin, yeah. Well, I think it was on Mizzix, I think. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Mizzix, right.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
She was, because she's a Second City alumni, and she did one of her, like, very memorable scenes when she, her run on Second City was, she played a goblin, so we had to have her on as a goblin. For our Commander's Brew Commander interview segments, which, if you guys haven't listened to the podcast, they're at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I particularly liked your interview with Erebus, God of the Dead.
Oh, yeah, you sound a lot like that guy.
It's weird, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Urabrask was funny, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Andy, you are, as Phil has dubbed you, the Supreme Simic. This came about, we picked you because you told us that Simic was your favorite guild, and we know you brew a lot of decks. So sure do, why Simic?
Why is Simic my favorite guild?
Well, also, for anyone who doesn't know, what is Simic as
What is Simic?
Yeah, start with that. Yeah.
Simic is blue and green.
There you go.
And Simic is all about I don't know, do you want me to talk about the actual guild? They experiment on things.
No, no, no. Just like, we haven't actually at any point, I think, said that Simic is blue and green.
Oh, yeah. Simic, blue-green, right?
Well, the origin of Simic is good.
Yeah.
Origin of Simic. The Ravnica guild, obviously. The one that experiments and stuff and turns merfolk into ooze people. That part I'm, like, pretty into, I guess. I like, you know, messing around with fish and stuff. Just as much as the next guy, right? Like... But
who doesn't?
The strategy for me was like what drew me to Magic and what I liked first about Magic, I think, was the idea of like drawing a million cards and then playing a million like giant creatures, right? Like I said this to you guys in the Facebook message leading up to the show, I was like, I want to talk about the guild that plays polar opposite cards like Counterspell and Terastodon, right? Like, that's my favorite thing. That's what I like about these guys. And obviously, in Commander, those are the things you want. You want card draw, and you want ramp, and then you want to have a big finisher some way or another, right? So Simic naturally...
You want to cheat at Magic.
Yeah, exactly. I want to cheat. I want to have the best only. So Simic lets you do that.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing for Simic for me is of the enemy-colored pairings for the guilds, they feel the most allied of
yes.
all the different enemy pairings. They feel very synergistic.
Good call. That is, yeah. Yeah, because like pairing blue with anything seems to kind of work in Magic almost, except for, I guess, well, yeah, I say except for red, but obviously like Izzet players would feel very different about that. But there's something about blue I think just works with almost anything. And then when you have green, especially in Commander, I mean, everything goes with green. So you get this like a Goldilocks zone of supposedly enemy colored guilds or whatever, factions.
Yeah, pairing, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why Simic.
That's why Simic, yeah. Because they're the damn best, that's why. They get to do everything slightly easier than everyone else.
Well, I mean, yeah. they're in both the easy colors of Magic, aren't they? The one color that lets you ramp and the one color that lets you draw better than anyone else.
Which is, actually, you just described black.
No, black does them both, but not as good.
Yeah,
black's
not the
like
best.
Black's always the secondary like runner-up, with the exception of spot removal.
You got to pay life to do it.
Yeah, there's always a cost. And the ramp, there's actually only... If they banned Cabal Coffers, black ramp is...
Crypt Gas, and that's it.
Yeah, it's Crypt Gas, Nakana, Revenant. That's about it, really. And there's a couple of other sort of Dark Ritual-type effects.
Magus of the Coffers.
Yeah, I think if they banned Cabal Coffers, you'd probably see the Magus go, who plays Magus of the Coffers? Anyway, let's forget about black. This is a green-blue episode.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with this, literally.
Yeah, so to sum up, the overview is big creatures, battlefield control, and it's secondary in recursion, isn't it? Because it can recur a bunch of things using green, and then blue, of course, has spell recursion.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love green's card recursion. That's my favorite thing. One of my favorite things that they do, like return target card.
Yeah,
like you can be anything, right? Like that's crazy. I love that.
Yeah,
yeah. So the three really good ones of those is Eternal Witness, Skullwinder, and Green Warden of Morassar.
Yeah,
are in every green deck ever printed.
Well, Regrowth.
I was gonna say Regrowth, and then there's the double Regrowth too. I can't remember the
Restock.
Name of it. Restock. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's the Reclaim, which puts it on top of your deck rather than your hand.
Mm. And green and blue are also pretty good about counters, especially together in Simic, because they had that whole Evolve and Graft thing going on each of the Ravnica sets.
Yeah, and of course you're in one of the good Infect colors as well.
Mm.
I'd say two of the good Infect colors.
Two
right?
of them,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's those in two in black. That's about it.
Secondary and tertiary Infect colors, aren't you? I'd say blue is just behind green, which is just behind black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think, if we're talking like actual good Infect, like there's the modern Infect decks are blue-green, right?
Sorry, what Infect decks? Modern?
Yeah. What was that word you
used?
You
know, the ones that win or try to at least in that strange format that we know nothing about.
Modern.
Leave that in. Anyways, yes, Infect, totally.
So that's a very brief. Obviously, we're going to go deeper into all these sort of areas in the episode, listeners. What would you consider to be the leading strengths of the color pairing?
For me, obviously, I think card draw and ramp are the number one and two things. Those are the best things about the guild. Those are the strongest things they're the best at, right? Like those colors individually, that's like their hallmarks. And when they come together, it's the number one and two things you want to do in Commander. So like I said, it's pure easy.
Yeah, there's a very solid argument that Simic is the best two color pairing. And if you look at the wedges and shards that use Simic within them, so Sultai and Bant in particular, they are often the guilty parties when it comes to having super powerful commanders. Rafik, Rune, Derevi, Leovold, Damia, you know, these are all top tier commanders if played correctly. Damia, you could argue, isn't, but
hey,
Animar,
Mimeoplasm, yeah, that's
but then you've also got, well, I was just coming on to Teemer, which has some of just every Teemer commander, even the bad ones, are great.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, don't leave Teemer out. Animar, Maelstrom Wanderer, like, Riku, like, these are a real deal.
Even if your worst commander is Intet the Dreamer, you're doing all right.
You're doing just fine, yeah.
But I think all these wedges and shards are only really sort of powered because they have that dual combination of card draw and ramp at their fingertips constantly.
Absolutely.
How good would Riku be if he was Grixis and you didn't have the ability just to find bunches of mana from all over the place of all the colors you need? I would argue he wouldn't be as good. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but we took a real hit this spring. Real hit. I mean, we do all of this in her name.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Tip a little bit of your drink out, boys.
Yep. Let's spill one.
The Prophet of Crucifix, rest in peace, is actually a very good example of just how powerful the strategies of the two individual colors are put together onto a single card.
Absolutely. I mean, look at that card in other formats. It wasn't playable in anything.
No.
But those, because, you know, the other things are valued in other formats, but when it comes to Commander, those are the most powerful things you can do. And it showed. It had to be kicked out of the group. Get out.
Yep. And the Prophet, it didn't let you draw cards per se, but the giant bunch of creatures you could play during everyone's upkeep, or not even their upkeep, during everyone's turn, but you got to untap during their upkeeps, allowed you to draw cards, which, as later on we'll discuss, a lot of these creatures allow you to refresh your hand as you go.
I have to admit, I will always miss flashing Terastodon in at the end of my opponent's turn.
Very nice.
And then next turn, flashing the clone in to...
Yeah. And then maybe recurring one or both of them.
Okay, so Simic is super, super powerful. What's it bad at? Hear that silence, listeners.
Yeah.
Like, bad?
I was writing show notes about what is Simic not very good at, and the best I could come up with is it's not very good at board wipes. It can wipe the board using blue spells like Cyclonic Rift and Evacuate and stuff like that. But, I mean, you're not killing stuff. You're just returning it to hands. So you're going to have to rely on artifacts to board wipe, like Nev's Disc and Perilous Vault, that sort of thing. Oblivion Stone. Outside of Concordant Crossroads, you're not really finding haste from anywhere. So you have to have a fairly survivable board state to get your swing in with stuff.
Yeah, some individual green cards have haste, but they're not really suitable for Commander in most cases.
Yeah. Its tutoring is, because it's not black, it suffers from all the other four colors problem, which it has to tutor for specific things rather than for just anything you like.
Yeah, like, that's hardly a weakness, though, really. I mean, just because one...
Yeah, who uses creatures and spells?
Yeah. Like, also, the fact that someone has something doesn't mean that you have a weakness just because you don't have it, right? Like, that's...
Yeah, this is what I mean. I was really outside of board wipes. Struggling, because, like, you could go, well, you know, flyers is a problem. No blue covers flyers, so it gets rid of that green weakness. You've got access to the finest counter spells ever made.
You can tutor for instants and sorceries fairly easily. You can tutor for creatures fairly easily. What else do you need, really?
You, like, can recur from the graveyard, I guess, because...
Yeah, but we ended up with Kaladesh and giving us the worst of the Gear Hulks, Verdurous Gear Hulk, which is only an 8/8 trampler for 5 mana, and a Fatcaster Mage, which is only, you get to recur a instant
For free. For six mana, essentially.
Six mana.
But leave a 5/6 body behind.
Hmm.
Yeah, like a slightly worse, well, slightly, I'd say like a worse version of, what's the flying counterspell creature? What's it called again?
Draining Whelk.
Draining Whelk, yeah.
Yep. I mean...
Draining Whelk is sick.
I love Draining Whelk.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. It is. It's great.
I mean, you could argue that green is weaker because it's Primordial and its Titan are both banned.
Yeah.
You can argue it's weaker because it's too strong. Right? They're too good, so they're no good.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
There we go. So I guess to summarize, we could labor on this point for a while. But to summarize, these two colors are what you want to be doing in this format at their best. Go have nuts. I always refer to green as easy mode magic. Well, Simic is autopilot magic.
Yeah, I like that. It's, you know, it's funny because it's like, it's kind of like, it's like, I guess it's kind of insulting for someone who loves Simic. But like, don't take offense to it because it kind of is. And that's why we like it. You know, like it's fun because it's good. And it's good because it's not as hard. You can make a complicated, weird, like, Simic deck if you want. I feel like Rushmi is probably going to be that commander for you. But, you know, you can also just have, I don't know, Womir Vig, where you just get every creature you want and just get to play it. You know what I mean?
Toolbox.
Yeah, exactly.
Zagana, where you can just refill your hand anytime you like.
Ooh, I love it.
We'll get into the commanders
refill
later.
Refill my hand with a huge creature. That's the best.
Yeah. But you can recur and clone and just, ugh. Yeah, Zagana.
So this sort of brings us to a discussion on the strategies for Simic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are other strategies in all of this, of course, but the basic ones are, you know, it play to the strengths. It's big mana. And we do that with Krufix, the God of Horizons. We have counter-based strategies, Voril of the Hullclade, Azuri, Claw of Progress, Experiment Crotch. Crotch?
Experiment Crotch.
Experiment Crotch. Why not?
Gotta pay extra for that.
You gotta take him to dinner first.
At least buy a man a drink before you,
before you experiment with his crotch.
Yep.
There's even a Voltron commander, which came out last year, Kaseido Orochi Archmage.
Mm-hmm. That was right? A sneaky Voltron commander. Yeah. I first read it, I was like, well, this isn't very good. Snake Tribal's not going to be a thing. And then I realized it was a snake itself and can make itself unblockable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's so like, cool.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah, and it can do it repeatedly.
Yeah, +2/+2 and unblockable. Yeah. Over and over again, you're dead. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately for other players, there's no way to get hexproof in green and blue.
God,
we didn't mention that. That is one of the strengths also, for sure.
Yeah, it's true.
God.
Token strategies, because it's green and blue, right? I mean, how ridiculous is that? There's draw to win, which is sort of a strategy where you just get to your victory condition. And there are four commanders that do that. Edric, Spymaster of Trest, Prime Speaker Zagana, Momir Vig, because he's drawing cards constantly, and now the new Rushmi, Eternity's Crafter, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. she is a draw. If you don't cast it for free, you get to draw it instead. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do all sorts of things with small blue instants, including like counterspelling, and it's just incredible card advantage. You just counterspell something just to draw a card on your opponent's turn.
Every cantrip says draw two in Rushmi.
Right. Insane. And then there are clone all the things. I think of Nate when I think of that because he has, we'll probably talk about that strategy a little bit later. And then the despised and universally despised and rightfully so, Infect, because it uses Phyrexian cards.
You didn't have a commander there, but I mean, Azuri is...
The Infect guy.
An Infect commander, right? Like, he was basically made to be the Infect commander, I think.
Well, his artwork has the old Azuri wearing a grafted exoskeleton, which is an equipment that gives you Infect.
Yeah,
in the game.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And he can play Verdurous Gearhulk and Blighted Agent at the same time.
Yes.
Not in that order, though.
Yeah, no, that's a bad order for you there.
Something we haven't put... I mean, at least... Simic doesn't have access to any good tribes like elves and wizards. So you couldn't do a good tribal deck with them, could you?
No. Or Merfolk.
Or Merfolk. Yeah, God, I forgot about Merfolk.
Well, green doesn't have any good flyers.
No. Luckily, blue doesn't have a whole army of sphinxes and illusions that can fly and do cool things.
Right.
Simic has a few flying mutants that are pretty good.
Oh, true. Simic Sky Swallower.
Yeah, the Sky Swallower.
It's got sharks.
Great. It does have sharks.
Shark tribal.
Many, many strategies, listeners, around shark tribal.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you could say, well, Simic doesn't have... Simic has access to spot removal, so... It's got, you know, Beast Within, Rapid Hybridization. It's got access to all these great things of, like...
Swan Song.
Swan Song, mm-hmm. Yeah, is amazing. It's got...
That is one of the weaknesses, I would say, actually, is that it doesn't have a lot of spot removal. But when you combine the two colors, it's like you kind of get enough, right? Like,
I was going to say, how many spot removal spells would you run in your average black deck?
Yeah, I don't know, like... I don't know.
I'd four, say probably five. Not more than four.
Yeah
that's what
like
I
that.
Was thinking.
Unless you're doing something very specific.
Yeah.
I'd say four. So, you know, give yourself Pongify, yeah. Appeal from Reality, Beast Within, and...
Rapid Hybridization.
Rapid Hybridization, there you go.
Done.
Yeah.
Right? That's all you need. So now that's no longer really a weakness. Although it should be a weakness, right?
And Beast Within does any permanent.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so nasty.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So you got poor Red sitting over there being like, wait a second, I'm a spot removal color. What the hell's going on? How is blue and green beating me at this?
Well, blue just got a reality shift, didn't it? Which is an exile effect.
Oh, it's amazing. It's great.
Yeah, but you, and then your opponent manifests his top card as her top card. Yeah.
Oh, no. I've exiled your Avacyn, but, you know, you get to manifest the card off your deck.
You could manifest a Plains.
You could. And then there's also two of the best removal spells in our format available to green and blue, which is Song of the Dryads and Imprisoned in the Moon.
That's true.
Good call.
Which is the only way to really shut off someone's commander nowadays, since Tuck Rule went.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's also that one, that white aura, the one that turns him into the little bug.
Dark Steel Mutation.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I feel like I've been away from Magic. I can't remember the names of any of the cards. The little bug one, you guys know what I mean.
You know, it turns you into a little guy.
Yeah, I used to like pride myself on knowing all the names. I mean, used to, 2 months ago. Anyways.
It's like Star Wars action figures.
Oh, I used to know all those, yeah. Anyways.
What's that weird little robot assassin called that everyone loves?
IG-88?
Yeah, that's it.
He's not little. He's very tall. Yeah. That's why I was thin. Confused.
He's skinny.
He's spindly.
He is spindly.
Yeah.
But he is 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk through our individual favorite cards, non-legendary cards from the color pairing specifically now. And that will flesh out, hopefully... or highlight the strategies that Simic has available and what sort of cards you should be thinking about. Now, when I gather researchers, guys, I was surprised at just how few cards are specifically green and blue together.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the guild is really hamstrung by that.
So, I mean, obviously, why I'm saying that is I think a lot of Simic decks that I've seen and the occasional ones that I've built tend to use the really strong cards that are either mono blue or mono green just because they're so powerful. And I think maybe a lot of these cards we're about to talk about get overlooked.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that's because a lot of them really lean towards one part of the Simic strategy, right? Like we talked about a bunch of different things that Simic does really well. Well, most of these cards tend to pick one of those things and do them. So they might not be good in every deck, but in some Simic deck, they're going to be just huge bombs, basically. And also the enemy pairing makes it so that they didn't print a lot of Simic stuff sort of pre, you know, the Ravnica set.
Right.
Uh-huh. So, Andy, what's your first pick?
First one, not my favorite, but so number three is Master Biomancer. Master Biomancer is 2 green, blue for an elf wizard, a 2/4. And he says, each other creature you control enters the battlefield, with a number of additional +1/+1 counters on it equal to Master Biomancer's power and as a mutant in addition to its other types. I always forget that part. You turn them all, you kind of like, it'd be funny to have a, like, I almost feel like this guy should have been legendary, you know, so that you could have made a mutant deck on top of it. Like, that would have just somehow helped, because I don't know if any other card really supports that. But anyways, Master Biomancer comes down and just everything from then on is larger. And of course, if you get multiple Master Biomancers somehow with clones, because like that's not possible with these colors, so you don't have to worry about that probably. But then the math just gets out of control. And he lends to the +1/+1 counters really well. He lends to the clone type strategy type stuff really well. So he's really awesome.
Yeah, a good synergistic card with him is Avenger Zendikar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, absolutely. Yep.
When you create a bunch of 2/3 tokens, that's super powerful.
Oh, yeah, right away. You don't even have to wait. Love it.
Oh, by the way, Experiment Kraj is an ooze mutant who likes counters on things.
Ooh.
Yes, yes. Andy, you've got your commander, your mutant tribal deck.
Oh, I've looked at making a Kraj deck many, many times, and I mean, I ended up putting him in a Derivi deck instead, where he's pretty, all right, pretty solid, but yeah.
Ah, Derivi, the enemy of fun. Although I think Leovold's taken Derivi's little crown off its bird head. And is parading it around after presumably after expropriating it.
It was Nate that made the bird tribal, the turkey deck, right? Yeah.
I only played it twice and it beat me twice.
Yeah, like, but that's the Derivi that I like. I like forget about stasis. That's awful. Why would anyone ever want to play that?
It's just the birds.
Yeah, man, just give me the birds or give me the fun tapping and untapping of my own stuff and, you know, all that kind of thing.
Have you noticed on the Master Biomancer art, it looks like he's fondling a giant mutated member of his own?
What?
No.
The bottom of that.
Sorry. Are you sure you're on the right website, Sean? To me, he's holding an eel or something, like a snake.
You mentioned you did have to forgo certain things this week, Sean, so I understand if you're distracted.
Maybe I'm seeing what I want to see.
I guess so. He's holding a snake up to his head.
Disappears down towards his crotch area, and he has made himself into a mutant.
You are reaching on this one.
Apparently so is Master Biomancer.
I was going to say, it looks like Master Biomancer must be, if that's what Sean thinks is happening.
Does your guy's one not look like that?
No, it looks like that, but like, I just...
What, it's got thrills and scales?
I'm just not a massive pervert, I guess.
I've read far too many Japanese comic books, I think.
I think that might be the problem, yeah. This is too tentacly for you.
I was raised on Legend of the Overfiend, and that would be ironic if we were talking about your next card, but we're going to do that in a bit. Nate, what's your next? What's your number 3 Simic card?
My number 3 Simic card is one of my favorite red-white flyers. That's right. Simic cheats at magic. This is Trigon Predator, 1, green-blue, creature beast. It's flying, 2/3. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you may destroy target artifact or enchantment that player controls.
Yep. Nice.
Cast Naturalize when it deals damage.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
Also one of my favorites. I love this guy. And I didn't have a Trigon Predator for so long. And then I finally got one in Eternal Masters, which is weird.
Nice.
But this is a Simic staple, right? Like if you're running a Simic deck, you throw this guy in for sure.
It was one of the first cards I picked up for the Mimeoplasm, because when I saw it, I was like, wait, they do this in Magic now? And then I played it and I was like, holy smokes, this is wonderful. Just the threat of attacking with it prevents so much damage because they have to keep a flying blocker up.
The only downside is that you have to target the thing that the player you hit controls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What a bummer.
I know.
And it doesn't trigger if you hit planeswalkers.
Correct.
Yes, so many downsides. See?
Oh, this card is basically garbage.
Nate. Terrible pick, Nate.
Yeah.
It's not even in the right colors.
Well, Boros isn't really a great guild. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, 3 mana for a 2/3 flyer is playable in some formats, you know, just good without the second ability. So
some formats
limited, but that three. Wow, it's underpriced. It's great. It casts Naturalize every time it hits someone. It's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fortunately, neither green nor blue can make creatures unblockable.
No, not at all.
One of their massive strengths, in fact. You guys, have you been paying attention?
Yeah, we forgot that.
Yeah.
So my number one pick, and it's just recently been reprinted in...
Number one,
sorry. My first pick, which is my number three pick, which has just recently been reprinted in Conspiracy, is a card that exemplifies both strong aspects of the color pairing, and that is Coiling Oracle. So 1/1 for a blue and a green. When Coiling Oracle enters the battlefield, reveal the top card of your library. If it's a land card, put it onto the battlefield. Otherwise, put it into your hand.
Better than drawing a card.
Yeah. Either ramps you or draws you a non-land card, which gets you closer to that land you need. And it has one of the coolest creature types, Snake Elf Druid.
Mm-hmm.
Snake Elf Druid.
It's no cat monkey.
Yeah, that's. I was going to say, it's not the coolest, though, because there's a cat monkey now. It's honestly the best thing. And how did anyone...
The Grinch got naked and he's parading through the streets.
I mean, this is a pure digression from Coiling Oracle, but like, how did no one think of cat monkey before in anything? You know what I mean? And how is that card not Simic, right?
It's a mutant.
It's a mutant. It's a cat monkey. Get out of here.
Yeah. Well, if you think of marmots and ferrets as cat snakes.
Nice marmot. Anyways.
Yeah.
Coiling Oracle. This card is amazing. It's better than drawing a card. I love it.
It should be in every... I used to enjoy people playing it so I could kill it and then strap it to my Mimic Vat. Yep.
That's so mean. That poor guy.
That's great. Well, it's where you get people Sakura Tribe Elders as well, which goes in the same deck as what goes with Quilling Oracle.
Yep.
Phil, what's your number three pick?
Well, what are you going to do with all those lands you get into play with your Coiling Oracle but untap them? Kiora's Follower. Green and a blue. You get a Merfolk. That doesn't matter. 2/2. That doesn't matter either because you tap it to untap another target permanent. Bump, bump.
Yeah.
You got a Gilded Lotus. You got a Soul Ring.
This is a card that I like underestimated when I first saw it.
Yeah.
Because it's like it just seems like such a like a minor effect. It's like, oh, I get to untap something. I guess that's pretty good. I guess I can surprise and block someone. But it's you know, like that's what you think of at first, and then you're like, oh wait, it's permanent.
You could untap Gaia's Cradle.
Oh yeah. Exactly.
Morel of the Hulklade.
Nyxos Shrine to Nyx. Mana Vault.
It's really great. These abilities, I feel like new commander players, like because when I was new, I definitely undervalued stuff like this. And like Fate Stitcher and all that type of stuff. Like that's when I undervalued it until you see it in action once and you're like, oh wait, that ability is worth being in this deck. Like this is definitely worth it.
Oh, I've made a terrible error.
Yeah.
I've made a huge mistake. I've watched people do nuts things with this. It's a good one in Elf Ball. There's a bunch of ways of going creating infinite mana with Kiora's Follower. None of which I play with, so they don't come to mind. But I've seen people do them. I'm just like, yeah, fine. You go, you create infinite mana. What are you going to do with it?
And in our format, Fate Stitcher is a better card because it taps or untaps target permanent. But just for 2 mana on turn 2, you get this guy out and suddenly, you know, you're already ramping with artifacts and additional, you know, lands, really good lands. This guy will untap those and give you another tap on it. Even if it's just a Soul Ring, you get an extra 2 mana because of this guy.
Plus, it's a well-known fact that Josh Lee Kwai owns every copy of Fate Stitcher, so they're hard to get hold of.
Exactly.
All right.
So, Andy.
Yes.
What is your number 2 pick?
All right. Number 2 goes to... this one, it seems kind of like very specific at first, and then you're like, oh, wait, no, this can go in just about any Simic deck. So it's Overbeing of Myth. It costs 5 hybrid Simic. So any combination of blue and green, you can get this one. It's a spirit avatar, and it's a star, and it says Overbeing of Myth's power and toughness are each equal to the number of cards in your hand, and at the beginning of your draw step, draw a card. So that works pretty well together. Draw extra cards and be as big as your hand is. It is kind of specific to like decks that focus on card draw and want
like
to...
Like Leovold?
Yeah, like Leovold. I like Prime Speaker Zagana is great. Like that's where I kind of discovered this card is when I...
Big old creature in Zagana.
Yeah, and you get your... Now you can get your Thought Vessel, whereas before you only had, you know, a couple other things, but Thought Vessel is now actually like a better version of all those zero mana artifacts that give you...
Thought Vessel's going up in price, by the way.
It is,
buy
exactly.
Buy them while you can. Buy them while you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although they may... Oh, no, they probably won't. I was thinking that. I was like, they might add them to the 4-color commanders, but it's like,
I don't think they will, because they didn't reprint Commander Sphere, yeah, which is also going up in price now.
I feel like Commander Sphere is the one that's going to get the reprint this next... because of the 4 colors and everything, right?
Yeah.
I bought like 20 Commander Spheres when they came out.
Oh, well, there you go. It's your fault.
So, Overbeing a Myth, important tip for people buying one. Don't buy... I wanted to buy one. It's quite an expensive card, relatively, for what it does.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, look, the foil, this pre-release foil, or sorry, buy a box promo foil, is only like $1. Why is... Okay, I'll just buy one of them. Now, it's the old type heavy foiling, so it's basically like having a Pringles crisp in your hand and deck curled around in on itself.
Oh.
It's just awful. I've never, ever experienced such bad foiling as my foil Overbeing. But yeah.
I guess before that was before they perfected the method.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I remember when they were all bendy like that, and you can't really put them in a... Especially when you like newly sleeve up a deck and you put that one foil in there, and it's just like, okay, there it is. Like, you know.
He's got his foil in his hand.
Yeah.
Judge.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Yeah.
But I love Overbeing, and I love the ability of, you know, drawing an extra card on your upkeep, or here it's on the beginning of your draw step. And the reason I like it, like a lot of people will say like, oh, it's too slow though. Like, you know, I can't do it when I want or whatever. I don't have any control over it. There's no way to abuse it. I like it because people tend to forget about it by the time your turn rolls around, and then they're like, oh, you get to draw an extra card. It's like, and then eventually like it'll be out there for a while and it's like, oh, wait, but why did you draw that card again? It's like this thing. Oh, that 10-10 you have there. You know what I mean? And then by then it's too late for them. So. I like cards that do that. I like Staff of Nin also.
Interesting, if you have it, any hand cycling spell kills the Overbeing of Myth.
It does, yes. Don't do that. Yeah. So maybe don't... I guess you won't... yeah, you would. Don't play
you
with Leovold.
You don't need to hand cycle too much in Simic.
You don't at all.
You're drawing plenty of things, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a good copy target.
You could throw in Keeper of Keys, get the Monarchy, and then draw another card, and stuff would be unblockable. You're 10-10 there.
Look at that.
Ooh.
What a laugh. That's when you're having a bit of a laugh, as we say.
Yeah. The Overbeing.
Royal laugh.
The royal we.
The Overbeing, being innocuous, as it were, is a good copy target, isn't it?
Oh, it's an awesome copy
Smooth
target.
Smooth segue, Phil.
And what would you like to copy that with? Like, ideally, what's your ideal one to use for that?
I don't know if it's the ideal one, but most of the cloning creatures are just in blue, but there's one of them that's in blue and green that I like. Progenitor Mimic. It's kind of expensive. 4 green and blue. Creature Shapeshifter. It's a 0/0, but you may, and you probably will, you may have Progenitor Mimic enter the battlefield as a copy of any creature on the battlefield, except it gains... At the beginning of your upkeep, if this creature isn't a token, put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of this creature.
That's awesome.
Is anybody using any good enter the battlefield effects there?
Yeah, my RuneScar Daemon normally gets Progenitor Mimicked. It's very annoying.
Yeah, if you like casting a kicked right of replication, which is also in blue, then this is a slow version.
Yeah. One of my favorite plays when Hallowed Be Her Name was in the format was basically to flash in Progenitor Mimic and then get that, enter the battlefield trigger for whatever I copied, and then, of course, get it moments later at my upkeep. It was beautiful. Yeah, absolutely beautiful.
Very nice. Another good Simic clone is the recently printed Altered Image.
Altered Ego, isn't it?
Altered Ego, sorry. Yeah. Altered Image is a 1980s synth-pop band.
I can see where the confusion came in, though.
Yeah.
Very similar ideas.
Altered Ego, which is a green, a blue, and two, and X. And if you pay the additional X, it comes in with X additional counters on it. In fact, clones, just heavy clones, is a very good Simic strategy.
Yeah, it is.
And very 75%, as we all know.
Yeah.
They're only as good as what you're playing, yeah.
Which is fun. It's good, and it really does make for fun games. I don't think I've ever played against a clone deck that didn't get out of hand, but in a very fun way.
Then you'd love my new Silumgar deck.
Not stealing stuff, cloning.
No. Cloning stuff. It's interesting.
Yeah, Riku full of clones. Oh. That's a 75% deck, but since you get two of them, it's 150% deck.
Exactly.
That's maths.
I like to clone people's Ionas and set it to the color they're playing.
Set it to white.
Yeah, but sadly it means Iona normally comes down setting on blue originally. It's like, right. But yeah. Oh, that is not a swear word.
But originally?
Yeah.
Well, folks, we got enough material for another episode, so that's what we're going to do. If you like what you hear, consider donating to patreon.com/commanderandmtg. Special thanks to our tech whizzes Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and to Justin for his server space. The logo was created by MrPicto.co.uk with assistance from Kelly. The theme song was created by yours truly. Find us on all the social media by searching for Commander and MTG Podcast.
Mandarin. Look at this. Initial concept and game design, Ethan Fleischer. And final game and deck development, Ben Hayes.
The man responsible for Leovold and Prophet of Crucifix.
That's right. Maybe we should have Ben Hayes on.
Ben Hayes.
Maybe we have a cameo by Ben Hayes.
An impression.
I don't understand the basic concept of power level.
Yeah, man, Leovold, too much. Didn't you know there's this whole like genre of cards that ruins the game if that guy's in there?
Yeah, well, like,
all of them.
Did you listen to our Sean Main episodes, Andy? We go at him about Leovold quite a bit. Because he's discussing conspiracy. And his defense was, well, no one gets upset about Notion Thief or Spirit of the Labyrinth. It's like, seriously, man? Like, Spirit of the Labyrinth stops you drawing cards as well and is a white card and isn't your commander. And Notion Thief, if you play it and anyone puts down Consecrated Sphinx, you automatically die.
Yeah. Also, it's not your commander.
Yeah, also not your commander. Right, like, also not in green. Also not massively undercosted.
Also does a different thing.
Yeah, like, that was his defense of it. Was, well, these things already exist that stop people drawing more than one card and no one complains about it. And then he said, well, okay, well, in my Kalia deck, I run Sire, because then we were talking about how it makes everyone discard their hand and not have any cards in the hand. He said, I play Sire of Insanity in my Kalia deck, and no one complains about that. I was like, yeah, but Sire of Insanity hits you too. You can't have cards in your hand if Sire's out.
Yeah, Lay of Old and Windfall together is like Jin Gataxius does all of that by himself.
For six mana.
Mana or something.
Jin Gataxius is 10. Yeah. Windfall and Lay of Old is 6.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, Jin Gataxius is so oppressive and costs 10 and like 4 blue or whatever. Meanwhile, Leovold is your commander, so you just need to have that card in your opening hand. That's it. It's going to get banned in 1v1, like, it's right? Like, it's going to get banned right away.
So someone in our deck testing group, someone you know, Johnny Crass. Now, I know he's nice and sent you stuff, but we play with him a bit. And his basic mission, as far as I can tell, I like the man, I really hate the Magic player, because his mission is to try and turn Commander into Modern as much as possible.
Oh, really?
What?
And he's built a Leovold Infect deck.
Jesus.
It's just like, why, Johnny? Like, I agree with Shivan, but I was discussing on Twitter with him last night. He said, if anyone pulls out Leovold, I just concede the game immediately.
Oh, really?
Yep. And I was I'm with you. And,
I turned the table.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I turned the table on them. And it works. Like, Andy Belford, I don't know if Andy remembers Belford. Yeah, he was the guy with the paperboy cap.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's a weekly EDH night, and I went over to, I've only made one of them so far. And he was like, I'm going to play Leovold. And I look at him, I'm like, is it nice Leovold or mean Leovold? And he goes, well, what do you mean? And I said, you know, is it playing Puzzle Box? And he said, yes. And I go, mean.
It's mean Leovold.
Yeah, and I mean, I said to the table, like, they were like, Leovold, isn't that the guy that keeps everybody from drawing? I'm like, yeah. And even better, he's playing the card that keeps you from ever having cards in your hand again. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, so turn four, it's basically over.
Yep.
And then to demonstrate, like, you know, how important it was, he had played one of the Simic bounce lands, right? The Simic bounce land.
Yeah, nice.
And I ghost corded that away and it set me back, and I was playing Karametra, and I said, like, this is what has to happen, guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it kept him. He had done the classic, he didn't do a vampiric tutor, but he did a demonic tutor. And I was like, yeah, he just tutored for the Puzzle Box,
he
folks.
Tutored
we can't
for the
let
box?
Him do this.
Oh, man.
He absolutely did. Because after the game, I was like, when he was dead, right, and me and this other guy were trying to finish it up, I said, did you tutor for the box? He goes, yeah.
Yeah. Turn four, no one else can have cards in their hand. I can. I mean, yay, great.
I can get like wanting to do that once, you know what I mean? And just being like, cool. Like, all right, I did it. Now I'm going to fix this. Like our friend Alistair, he has Prosh and he has Food Chain, and he did it once, and he just got his Food Chain. He didn't have it for a long time, and he didn't really play that Prosh deck very much. But then he finally did it. He got Food Chain. He won. He went infinite, and he's like, okay, great. And then he pulled it out and he put it in a different deck. Like,
yeah.
Makes sense. That's cool. Fine. I get it. You want to do the crazy thing that that commander does once. But to consistently do that and like tutor for it and stuff?
Right. Oof,
that's not my style, man. That's not what I like.
Yeah. So people always ask me why I run Sidri as my Esper artifact commander, not Shroom. I'm like, because I don't want to do the things that Shroom does.
Right.
Which is, hey, look, I've got Sculpting Steel, Shroom, and Disciple of the Vault. Look, I win. For four mana.
Is your Sculpting Steel a Kaladesh invention?
I wish it was.
Mm. I know. Imagine having a Sculpting Steel that was a Kaladesh invention.
Yeah, it's like having all the inventions.
Exactly.